Now, you may have heard that the Chinese are heading to Australia in droves as tourists, but how significant is this trend and how is Australia's tourism industry adapting to the change? Adelaine Ng found out from IBIS World Senior Industry Analyst Nick Tarrant.
Nick Tarrant, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, we're hearing about the Chinese boom in Australian tourism. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
So Chinese visitor numbers have been growing at a rate of around 20% over the past 5 years. To put it into perspective, about a decade ago, Chinese visitor numbers were around 290,000. At the moment, that number is expected to be over 1.3 million. And within 10 years, we're expecting that number to reach over 3 million. So China has eclipsed the US and the UK combined in total for total visitor inbound numbers. A lot of that growth has been driven by increased visits for holiday purposes. So visiting friends and relatives, business and education growth has remained relatively flat, but growth has been driven by increased holidays. So the depreciation of the Australian dollar over the past several years, the increase in capacity by China Airlines, such as China Southern, China Eastern, and also Australia's increasing prominence as a tourism destination have driven that growth, and that's why we've seen a lot of such strong numbers.
20% is pretty significant, but I believe you also say that the numbers for Australia is only 1% of the Chinese tourist market. Would that be right?
Yeah, so Australia is behind other countries such as the US, Italy, Germany, France, and even other countries in Asia such as Thailand and Japan and Vietnam in terms of number or biggest markets for Chinese visitors to visit other countries. So even though Australia has taken advantage of this growing trend, there's still plenty of room for further advancement.
So would it be right to say it's not really necessarily that Australia is more attractive than other destinations, it's just that our share of a huge pie is growing?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I mean, there's some organic growth as well in terms of Chinese visitors wanting to visit Australia for its wildlife and scenery, beaches, seafood, and also to visit family and friends, etc. Australia's proximity to China is another huge benefit, as well as falling airfares over the past couple of years. But it's true when you say that, look, the pie is expanding not just for Australia but for all other countries, even, say, New Zealand, our neighbours, and other countries across Europe. So, I mean, this represents a huge opportunity over the next decade or so for Australia to really capitalise on this boom. And other things that will probably be necessary over the next 5 to 10 years is ensuring that Australia's airports can meet that increased demand in capacity because, say, like Sydney International Airport, Melbourne Airport, these airports are already reaching capacity in terms of the number of flights that can fly to and from those airports each year. So, for example, the proposed construction of the second airport in Sydney.
Would that be Badgerys Creek?
Yeah, Badgerys Creek, and upgrades in terminals and runway facilities and other major airports in Australia is necessary to satisfy that increased demand.
Now, for those not familiar with Badgerys Creek or not familiar with Sydney, that's about Badgerys Creek is about 45 minutes drive, I think, from Sydney Airport.
It's located in Western Sydney, so it's in a good position because it's in one of the fastest growing regions of Australia, and it would also be beneficial if the owners of Sydney Airport, which currently have the first right to build the Western Sydney Airport, if, for example, the airport goes to another operator, that will increase competition between the two airports, which would ultimately lead to cheaper prices for airlines to land in Sydney, which would lead to lower airfares as well, which would only benefit both inbound and outbound growth in visitor numbers for Australia.
But at this stage, there's still a question about who's going to fund it, which may delay the airport from its start date.
There's obviously a long lead time for a huge construction project like that, and at the moment, nothing's set in stone in terms of a date for construction, so it's unlikely that the airport will be finished any time within the next 5 to 10 years. So there's obviously cause some short-term problems in terms of meeting demand, which is why, for example, in Queensland, they've recently approved an expansion of Brisbane Airport, and a new airport on the Sunshine Coast is also under construction, so that will help, for instance, Queensland absorb more visitors over the next decade. And so there's always other options, but in the long term, the construction of a new airport and also the upgrade of existing airports can only be a good thing for Australian tourism.
And I believe that Brisbane Airport, when it's redeveloped, it will have the capacity to match the very busy airport in Singapore, Changi.
Yeah, and I mean, these things like can only be good for not just the airlines and also consumers, but also the broader tourism industry. If you look at Australia's tourism sector, it's worth around $120 billion, and it's growing quite quickly. And it's expected that, I'd say, over the next future period, I mean, if you look at how important the mining boom was for Australia, it's not unreasonable to say that tourism will be our next big boom, and any kind of infrastructure development will be absolutely necessary to make sure that we can capitalise on it.
So do you believe we are ready for that boom? I mean, we were just talking about Brisbane Airport might be the most ready. Mm-hmm. Sydney sounds like they might have some issues there, but is the inflow of tourism headed for every capital?
Look, there's already government initiatives in place to ensure that it's not just the major cities that are benefiting, but also other tourism hotspots of Australia. There's Tourism 2020, which is a federal and state government initiative designed to kind of respond to those future challenges and opportunities that are expected to affect the broader tourism sector over, it's set to 2020, but also for the future as well. That includes making sure that businesses benefit from projected increases in total visitor nights and tourist spending through initiatives such as improving infrastructure, reducing regulation, and developing marketing campaigns that can really target those growth countries such as China.
But as you say, the increase is 20% every year. It's been that way for 5 years at least. Do you think we're ready in the next 5 years to reach the potential to receive that amount of Chinese tourists?
Yeah, I think that you bring up a good point that over at least in the short term, it is difficult when it's growing so fast to increase infrastructure at a similar rate to meet that demand. So there could be some problems in the short term, but in the long term, there's definitely a lot of opportunity.
And from what you can tell overall, is the government responding to concerns about the lack of infrastructure readiness for the Chinese? I believe there are a few voices that are calling out for some changes to be made sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I guess, like as I mentioned before, there's Tourism 2020 and that initiative, but there definitely needs to be, I suppose, as I mentioned, if there's going to be some short-term constraints in capacity and infrastructure, then probably there is room for more to be done. There's always room for more to be done.
And apart from the Chinese trend, which is the biggest change for tourism, what other significant trends have you seen for Tourism Australia?
So there's also strong inbound tourist numbers from other countries in Asia, such as Malaysia, which is growing at a rate of just over 10%. India, growing at around 11 to 12%, and also strong growth from countries that have traditionally been big tourist markets for Australia, such as the US, as well as strong growth from, say, Singapore and Hong Kong. So tourism in Australia is doing quite well. As I mentioned before, the weakest Australian dollar at the moment, and particularly over the last, say, 3 or 4 years, along with weaker fuel prices, which is and increased competition among major airlines, which has reduced airfares to Australia, which has definitely supported the industry because of Australia's distance from its major markets, as well as that obviously leads to much higher airfares. For example, someone in Europe wanting to travel to Australia is obviously going to cost a lot more than to travel to other countries in Europe, so that has definitely benefited Australian tourism.
Okay, well, it sounds like exciting times ahead. Nick Tarrant, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
That was Adelaine Ng speaking to Nick Tarrant.